Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 2 in our teaching on the Book of Ephesians, titled Secure and Seated with Jesus. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
But the presence of the Lord is lingering in this place. Is anybody noticing that? The presence of the Lord is lingering in this place. And that is something that we should not take lightly. It's something that is really wonderful when we can recognize it. And to recognize the lingering presence of the Lord is an indicator to you and to me that it's more that we have shown up than He has shown up. Amen? There's a sensitivity in your spirit as we're studying God's Word, as we get together. What happens is we grow our sensitivity to things of the Spirit. And so that's the reason we have our Bible study. Here's we're wanting to learn and be trained. And I also don't want to be all about teaching. I also like to have a lab, if you will, to where we know we are experiencing the presence of the Lord. The only difference in being here on the earth in our physical body and when we shed off this physical body and get our new body, the difference when we use this term die and leave this physical body, what happens is you are then, if you can follow me here, you are then so disconnected from this earth that you then put your focus on things of the Spirit. So what's holding us down, so to speak, is that we're in a physical body. But it also means that God wants to hold us down to this earth because He has a plan and He has a purpose. His purpose in us is not perfection in us. We didn't make it. It's not perfection in us, but it's desperation in us. The closer, the more in the Spirit you get, the more desperate you get. It's a hunger that grows. It doesn't get full. It's a hunger that continually grows. When you're hungry in the Spirit, that means you're gaining weight. Amen? Just the weight of glory. You're pretty hungry. That's great. And it's that anticipation of us encountering the things of the Spirit. So why do we say we die to the flesh and the old man and the new man? Why all that terminology? The terminology is there is so that we learn how to push and engage in things of the Spirit. And as we gain in things of the Spirit, we become more sensitive to it. Things of this world are trying to desensitize us. It wants us to desensitize us to the presence of God. So God's here with us. God's here among us. His presence now at this place. This is what I think is turning into a habitation of the Lord. That's an honor and it's a privilege, because as soon as you walk through these doors, you can tell a truly an intense presence of the Spirit of God. Amen. Can somebody just say glory, hallelujah? Thank you, Lord. Amen. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. If you will remember, last week at the end of the service, I felt impressed to say we're not closing this thing. It's going to be a continuation. So as we're in here as Bible students, if you would stick this one as a little foundational part of your thinking this morning, we want to be a continuation of last week. And as this continuation, that means we don't start over again. We're going to build off of where we were last week. So, Lord Jesus, bring us into remembrance where we were last week. Every one of us here as individuals. If you say, well, Alan, I wasn't on first base last week. Well, you need to be on first base this week. If he's on first base last week, let's be on second base this week. And we allow the Lord, as we engage with Him, we just keep getting a base hit. Then all of a sudden, the Lord's going to come up to bat and He's going to knock her out of the park. So Lord Jesus, let us be found on base that we might be running with You. And so, Lord, when you knock it out of the park, let us run home. And all of heaven will be cheering. All the angels of heaven and all of those that's looking out over glory upon us even now. Those looking out upon us over the edges of glory are rooting us on. They're yelling for us. They're clapping for us. It's this wonderful angels and this wonderful New Jerusalem where people's friends and loved ones are watching now. Watching now, encouraging us to run this race and to bring all with us that we can. Anoint this time, O God. Let us be spiritual beings this morning. Any sickness or disease in here right now, Lord God, anybody that's got any sickness or disease, I just pray that it would be healed in the name of Jesus, that that will not be a distraction. We don't want any distractions this morning. Any sickness, disease, let it be healed. Any mental trauma, depression, abuse, let that be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Let Jesus' hand just touch your heart, your mind. Lord, you say that we'll have a sound mind, so I pray for everyone in here that we'll have a sound mind. A sound mind is a mind, Lord God, when in the words that it says we can hear the sounds of heaven. So we want to have a sound mind that can hear the sounds of heaven. Let it fall upon us, O God. Let a sound mind fall upon us, O God. Heal all disease, all mental illness, all depression. Let everyone in here, O God, let us be ready to run to second base today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, just glory. I believe you could just do anything in here today and it's going to work. Amen. We're in the Bible, aren't we? Don't forget, your notes and the teaching notes, any CDs are at the back. This is not a downer. I'm a little disappointed. I have way too many Revival Fires CD on the back table. Way too many Revival Fires CDs. This is like seed. I'm a farmer. Somebody needs to be planting Revival Fire CDs in people's hands. Big stack back at the back. As soon as it's gone, there'll be another stack. And then I'm looking for a stack of Revival Fire, and it's going to say on it, Happenings at New Life Christian Fellowship. Amen? Amen. Yes. Well, would you help me start getting it planted? Yep. Now you say, well, Alan, are you pushing revival? Really and truly, I'll be honest with you, I'm really not. I'm just trying to catch on with what the Lord's doing. And the Lord is wanting to revive my heart and your heart. And he's wanting us to have church unusual. That's right. I mean, people aren't coming to church to hear good singing and good preaching. I mean, it's okay to have it. People are coming to church to encounter the presence of God. Amen. So all of our hearts are united together in that one common cause, one purpose. We want you to be able to get some here you can't get at Walmart. And if you get it here, take it to Walmart. Man, I need to get on Ephesians. Thank you, Lord. As the old song says, there's a squirrel loose today. Amen. We're going to try to do a little Ephesians. And here's the reason. In the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul is explaining to the group at Ephesus here about a habitation of God. So I don't think it's just a happenstance that we find ourselves here today studying the book of Ephesians, and the presence and the power and the presence of God matches this book. Could God be doing something on purpose? God could be doing something on purpose. I want to review just a little bit right quickly. We're going to mix the power of the Spirit with the written Word. It's called Word and Spirit. So we want to be in the Spirit. We're going to mix in God's Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was... The Word's what? It's God. It's with God and it is God. So we're in the Spirit. We're going to mix in a little God here with it, and we'll take a chance to see what kind of explosion we get. Now, who wrote the book of Ephesians? It was the Apostle Paul. The date we're thinking is sometime, it was from Rome, somewhere around 64 A.D. The theme, now this is important. This should be in your notes. Basically, there are three lines of truth that make up this epistle. The believer's position through what? Now, we're wanting to see in the book of Ephesians, this is very important, that you have a position in the grace of God. What hinders that position is a religious spirit. It's not your perfection, it's your desperation. And it's understanding that grace. Very important if we're going to operate in the power of the Spirit of Christ. The truth concerning the body of Christ, we are what? The body of Christ. Now, when Christ was here in his bodily form, the body of Christ was not necessary because Jesus already had his body and he was here. And Jesus was performing things of spiritual nature. When he went away, he said it was important that he send his Spirit. And then he said he's wanting his people now to be his body. Why do you think it takes so many people to contain the body of Christ? It's because the power of Christ has that magnitude. Not one individual can carry the power of Christ. So collectively, we all've got a little measure. The reasons is that there's truly not any superstars in the Spirit, because it takes us all collectively to get together to have the superstar. And so we all bring our little measure of the power of Christ. We come together in unity. Unity means we're thinking like Christ. So if you're sitting back there and the unity is here and the power of the Spirit of God's here and you have a critical attitude, what is that going to do to the power of the body of Christ? Can you see that? It's going to be a hindrance unto the power. Why does he want us to come together in unity? Listen, unity does not come because you understand everything. Unity comes because you trust. I trust Christ in you. I trust Christ in Dallas. Dallas jumps around, prays, and sometimes he don't wants to talk a lot. Right? I'm using it as an example. Are you a little uncomfortable? Why? Because I trust the Spirit of Christ in you. Unity comes through trust, not understanding. Wisdom comes through understanding. Unity comes through trust. Trust means you have to abandon what you don't understand yet. So my trust in the Spirit of Christ in you is greater than you can, and in me is greater than my trust in me or you. But I'm convinced you have the Spirit of Christ. So therefore, collectively, the Spirit of Christ comes on the scene. Now, our walk reflects our position. Boy, I've got to move on here. The book can be divided into four basic ideas. Very important. First, Paul has a greeting in chapter 1. Second, we have this positional standing. This is important in us engaging the power and presence of Christ. The believer standing in Christ and in the heavenlies through pure grace. Third, the believer's walk in service. This speaks about how we walk in this grace and what we're going to do with us in chapter 4. Then number 4, the walk in the warfare of the Spirit-filled believer. What is guaranteed? I told you a few weeks back, what's guaranteed when you walk with Christ? A spiritual battle. It's like the more you walk with Christ, the greater the battle. But the greater the battle, the sweeter the victory. Everything's got a right, it's got a left. Everything's got a up, it's got a down. Everything's got a black, it's got a white. Everything has the opposite equal reaction. So if you want to run powerfully in the Spirit, and you said, God, I want more of you, guess what's going to, the opposite reaction is? It's that the powers of darkness are going to be after you harder. This concept that we run and we walk with Christ and everything gets easy and I drive a Cadillac and I win the lottery doesn't quite fit up to the book nor my experience. But my experience is matching the book of Ephesians. So the question is, are we up for the battle? Are we up for the battle? It will cost you something. You gotta fight for it. But the greater the battle, the sweeter the victory. Amen. There are several revelations here. Do you have your Bibles open to the book of Ephesians? If not, you can also, you've got your observation worksheets, which is the book of Ephesians. We're at the back, which is a copy of the book of Ephesians. And if you can either pull that out or you can pull out your Bible, I'll be using my Bible. And I want us to go over this right quickly. The seven revelations of the believer's position. I'm just going to spend about 10-15 minutes on bringing us. I want us to look at the book as a whole. I showed you four divisions. Now there's seven revelations of what? The believer's position. What if you were a gunner in an airplane and you're sitting there at the guns in your airplane, and the enemy comes at you, and you need to shoot him down, but you didn't realize you were sitting behind a gun. Realizing your position has everything to do with how you're going to walk and act. See, the enemy's constantly trying to dictate to your mind and spirit what your position is. Oh, I had a bad week. Oh, this happened, that happened. Oh, you just wouldn't believe what. Oh, negative, critical, critical, negative. Oh, negative, critical, critical. That's lining up what you think your position is. The enemy doesn't have to go after your actions. He goes after where you think you are. And do you know where you are? Where you thunk yesterday. Where you are today is where you thought you were yesterday, where you're going to be. How you think today is prophetic to your future of tomorrow. So Satan is constantly trying to dictate to you what your position is today. Well, according to this book, I have a pretty good position. It's in the heavenlies with Christ. And according to that position, my Bible tells me that this devil's been defeated. You see, every time you begin a ball game, you don't know who's going to win. You got to play the game. Well, I'm playing a game with the devil, and I already know who's going to win. Now, I still got to play the game. It's up to you how long your game lasts. Some of you are in the 20th, 5th inning. You need to go ahead and let the devil know who's winning this game. I've won this game. You want to start a new one? Start a new game. There's a new problem. There's a new challenge. That's right. But I know who wins the game. You see, the enemy, what he does, he psychs you out. He psychs you out. He tries to tell you this is your position. Then you'll get in the little old puppy dog thing. Well, poor little old me. I'm a little puppy dog. Somebody pat me on the head. Look at my little floppy ears. Aren't I pitiful? See, the enemy's hoping you'll do that. He's hoping you'll cow down and you'll, through your pride and your ego, you want to be petted real good. Because I've been hurt and beat up so bad. I understand the pain. I'm not making light of it. I'm just saying you're going to have to stand up. Tell that, know what your position is. Somebody, you have to tell the devil where to go. That's exactly right. I can encourage you to tell him where to go, but it doesn't work. You have to tell him where to go. That's right, devil. You know where it's at, too. Seven revelations. The first one's Ephesians. Blessings in heavenly places. Look at it in Ephesians right quickly. Chapter 1. Anybody see verse 3? Now, this is seven revelation of a believer's position. This is the first one. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, say blessed me, with all spiritual blessings, say spiritual blessings, where? In heavenly places, where? In Christ. Now you say, Alan, I believe it, but I don't understand it. It's okay not to understand that, but it's necessary that you believe it. See, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You got to faith it. Now, for something inside me says that's true, but there's another part of my intellect says I don't fully understand it. It's okay. God will give you on it. He gives revelation on a need-to-know basis. So here we have, here's the first revelation. First revelation is say, I've got blessings in heavenly places. I've got, that sounds like a song. I've got blessings in heaven, something like that. That's a country song. Okay, let me move on here. Now, what's the second revelation? The prayer for knowledge and what? Knowledge and what? Knowledge and power. Let's look at it in prayer for knowledge and power. Look at it in verse 17. Of chapter 1, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, say glory. Now you're going to see glory a lot in Ephesians. You say, well, Alan, I don't understand. It's okay, just see that it's there. You got a lot of glory. You got a lot of blessings in heavenly places. Glory may give unto you the what? Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who? Spirit and revelation, or wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of His... Riches of what? So glory has riches to it. Of His inheritance in the saints. So you have inheritance in heavenly places. Here I see that they're attached to glory, and she's pretty rich. How do you know when you're encountering rich glory? It's just about more than you can stand. You ever got a hold of something just real sweet? Just about more than you can stand? You see, when the glory starts getting really rich, it's just about more than you can stand. I told a pastor this morning, I said, I can tell the glory's rising. I can feel it. Now, here's what we do. You hold it. You say, well, Alan, I thought we wanted to let it out. No, you hold it. You hold the glory. You hold it. You hold. Glory will hit some before others. You hold it. When the glory starts hitting the least of the brethren, you won't be able to hold it no more. She'll blow. It's a mess. Tears everywhere. People praising God. A holy hush meets the congregation. But as the glory's in here, and you hold, and you hold, and you hold. A little leak out here. See, we're holding right now. Can you tell? We're holding. What are we waiting on? We're waiting on the last person to get on board. When the Lord says that it's full, He'll let her go. And you'll see something like you read about in Acts 2. Say, Alan, are you kidding? I'm not kidding. I'm as serious as I can be. But we hold. How do we hold? We worship God. We pray. We praise. We push, we worship God, we read His Word, we pray and we praise. We hold and we hold. You feel like, Alan, I've got to run or do something. We hold, and if somebody's running, it's usually because I can't, you gotta leak a little bit. Somebody cries, you gotta leak a little bit. And we hold and we hold. Then all of a sudden, you'll notice it. When God says you can't hold no more, everybody will hit us all at the same time. We just can't stand it anymore. They won't be able to run you off the stick. Just won't be able to do it. What am I doing all this for? The prayer for knowledge and power. That's what I was doing. Prayer for knowledge and power. And go to verse 19 right quickly, and I've got to hurry. And what is the exceedingly greatness of His power to who? Does God want to send you His power? He wants to send you His power. But God's just pretty choosy on where it lands. He's looking for humility. He's looking for a selfless person. When you really just let go in the Spirit of God, it's amazing how many opinions you don't have. Because God's got the best one. And you're just waiting for Him to speak. I call it the lazy man's way. You just let God be God. We just agree. He's looking for a humble heart, a contrite heart. He's looking for those that aren't trying to work it out religiously, but they know they need a Savior. And because they know they need a Savior, the Savior's Spirit shows up and says, I heard you need me. He said, Lord, I need you. Come on in. That's what the writer is speaking about in the book of Revelation. He stands outside the door and he knocks. You see, the Lord only comes when He's invited. And He only comes in when you open the door. And you only open the door when you realize your desperation of a Savior. You say, well, Alan, I've been saved. Well, I have too, but I need it every day. I need to be saved every day. Anybody got a witness? So we got the prayer for knowledge and of power. Let me move on. The third one, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. Christ is exalted to be head of the body. Look at it in verse 22. And hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things, the church, which is His body and the fullness of Him that fill all in all. Does anybody see that? I'm going to read it again. And hath put all things. How many things? All things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. Who's the church? We are. The church. Which is His body. The fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Here's what He's saying. The Apostle Paul is saying, listen, Jesus Christ comes in a fullness. And that fullness is when the body comes together in unity. It's not about getting together and doing it right. I've said this before with some criticism. Let's do something wrong, but do it in unity. And God will show up. It's not about doing it right. We can all stand up here and sing a song and nobody carry a note in a 5-gallon bucket. But if your heart's in unity, the presence of Christ is in this place. Listen, there's always going to be something going on to challenge you in any service we get together. There's always going to be something here to challenge you. Well, if that just wasn't there, I might. No. The reason that's there, so you can. You got to look at what sounds like to you or looks like to you doesn't suit you just right and say, you know, I love that over there. I love that over there. I love that person over there. The Apostle Paul says in one place, said, you don't love Jesus Christ any more than you love the least of the brethren. So you want to know how much you love Jesus? Pick out the person in the body of Christ that you despise the most. And that's how much you love Jesus. So He's always going to be things here that's going to challenge you as an individual. If you can say, well, that just isn't quite right or this isn't. Push through that. Love that. That's what we see. That gives the power to the church. Ephesians 4, the method of Gentile salvation. Now look at this one, chapter 2. This is chapter 2. Are you with me? Man, I got to hurry. Chapter 2. It says in verse 1, and you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in what? Somebody underline time past in your Bible. Mark it up real good. Time past. You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now, look at it in verse 13. Chapter 2, Ephesians, verse 13. But now. Somebody say, but now. See, the other verse he said, times past. But now he says, but now. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by what? So what makes you nigh? The blood of Jesus. So as a Christian, let me indoctrinate you real quick. Everything's done by the blood of Jesus. That's what's made you not far away, but here is the blood of Christ. Nothing in anything you've done, it's everything that He's done. It's by the blood of Christ that you are now not far off. Look at it in, if you have any excitement or adventure about you at all, read with me in verse 6. And has raised us up together, say it with me. Raised us up how? There's the unity thing. Raised us up how? Now listen, I've been in services where this one's raised up and that one's raised up and this one's raised up. I've seen that happen. I'm saying, well, glory, hallelujah. But what I'm looking for, what the Lord's looking for, is when we're all raised up together. So that means that those of y'all that's just wanting to fly, you got to hold her on the ground. Let this thing saturate everybody. Now I'm going to tell you something. When you experience the Lord raising us all up together, that's where the unity, we got to be in unity. That means you got to love the person that you don't love. Somebody's doing something that you don't like. You got that. You zero in what you don't like on what's going on in here and love it. And you're bringing us together. And then he says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. In Christ Jesus, period. Now we've got some riches in heavenly places. The context of Ephesians is the church, is the body. Now this inheritance of the saints, some of this inheritance we can't get unless we're all sitting there reading the will together. Did you get it? There's a part of the inheritance of Christ that you can experience as an individual. But there's more that you can experience that we have to experience it together. When you send big outpourings at different churches at different places, what happens? The unity hits and all of a sudden it catches them all up together in heavenly places. When that happens, there's no individual on the spotlight except Jesus. There's no other spotlight. Because his body's functioning. Everybody understands there's no individual that's in the spotlight except Jesus. That's the center of our unity. It's all about him. It's not about individuals. It's not about how somebody can sing real good or they played that song real good or they did this. I mean, just like worship thing, don't care if you get it all just right. The key is unity. Play the wrong notes together. In unity. It's about the spirit, not the note. Are you with me? When we sing, it's about the spirit, not the note. Why? What are we after? That in the ages to come, he might show forth the riches of his grace and his kindness to us through Christ Jesus. Isn't that amazing? He wants to raise us up together into unity. I would to the Lord. I've experienced that twice in my life, and I really want my children to experience it. I don't want them to hear about it. You got to have your own experience. Can you live life and go to heaven without it? Yes, you can. But that's just not who I am. I've done been to that well, and I've done drunk that water. And you're just completely ruined for the rest of your life. And I have not even got started on the lesson. I got to get on. I'm going to skip on through this. All right, and you send your notes. Ephesians, the fifth one is in Ephesians chapter 2. It's the Gentile position. That's where I want you to really get to. Man, well, we'll get to it. It's the Gentile position by our nature in times past. But he says now you've been brought into the covenants and the promises. That's our position in Christ. We'll be going over that in more detail. Ephesians, the next one is Jew and Gentile, one body in Christ. Now, people have asked me, well, Alan, why don't you do the Jewish stuff? Because it's all about being one body now. The Jews and the feast and all that tells me some stuff. It's historical to me. It's types and it's shadows in which I study and want to learn. But it's not about the shadow and the symbol now. It's about being the body of Christ. I'd rather you live under unity and be in the body more than I would keeping a Jewish feast. That's what Paul's talking about here. Live under unity, the love of Christ, the body. The next one is the church, a temple for the what? Now, I can't help it. I'm not going to skip this one. Chapter 2, verse 19. Have you got your Bibles? Chapter 2, verse 19. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners. Somebody say glory.
Glory.
But fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Now, I don't have time to prove this one to you yet. Perhaps we'll in the study. But what he's speaking about there is on heaven, in heaven and earth. This is the saints, not the saints on earth. I can develop that one for you later. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers, verse 19, and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. You know, the household of God, that means you're watching us, and are built upon the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. You see that? Look at verse 21. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple of the Lord. In whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. The book of Ephesians is speaking about the church collectively being the body of Christ with a purpose. The purpose is God wants a people to have a habitation with. You say, well, Alan, what does that look like? That looks like God doing ever what God wants to do. And if you think you're smart enough to know what he's going to do, you're going to miss it because you're not. You just hang on. You feel like you're going to get thrown plumb off the truck. You just hang on for dear life because God's moving in the house. God's moving. You'll see the interest in people grow. How do you know that the habitation is developing? People start coming to church early. They want to get here before everybody else. They don't want to miss nothing. Like, oh no. Remember, people don't come to church for great music and great preaching. Oh, that's good and we need it. They come to encounter and to be in the habitation of God. Let's not disappoint people. Let's let them run into that expectation. We have something to contribute. And that is who we are, to contribute to that. And I've got 6 minutes. Lesson two. Lesson two in 6 minutes. Hang on. Who do you belong to? This is in lesson two. I'll go over real quickly. Lesson two is about Ephesians chapter one. I'm going to be doing some things in Ephesians one. Who do you belong to? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he did what? Chose us where? He's chose us in him before the foundations of the world. I don't understand it, but I believe it. I'm standing here today because God chose me before he did this whole thing. He said, when you ask a question, well, Alan, did he choose everybody? That's not written there. I don't know. But I know he chose me before he created the earth. Can you handle that one? Now, if he that's the reason you're here. Listen, you would have quit if you could. You got pre-dipped. You got pre-chosen. Is everybody pre-chosen? I don't know. If some are not pre-chosen, that's just more responsibility to us, those that are. What if some are and some aren't? How will they get chosen? Could it be because we take them the message? Could it be? Chosen in him. Who do you belong to? Belong to him. Say, I belong to him. Amen. Aren't you glad he pre-chose you? I don't understand all that. I'm just glad. I can just be glad, can't I? What are you? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Who are you? I tell people this. They say, well, Alan, if I go here, if I go there, I'm not really sure where God, what God's going to bless where I'm going. I said, he don't bless where you're going. I said, you're a blessed person. You don't have a blessed destination, whether you be in jail or Walmart or at work or at home. Or you're a blessed person. Saints, position in Christ. Understand your position. You're not cursed, you're blessed. You're not cursed, you are blessed. You operate out of your position. Satan's constantly trying to convince you of your position. Because he knows if you're sitting behind and with the most powerful being of the universe, which is God Almighty, he's just got to convince you that you're not. And then you're going to act like you're not, but you are. Well, what good is it that you are if you act like you're not? You are doesn't have anything to do with it because you're acting like you're not. And you're acting like you're not is your prophetic until your tomorrow. So what if we acted like we was? Because we are. What would our tomorrow be like? Matter of fact, if we're sitting here and we think we're not, and we got 20 minutes till 10:30, what if we all come in here acting like we're not saints of God, we're not all this? And what if all of a sudden we say, well, maybe we are. Maybe God is here and maybe we are the habitation of God. Maybe God is going to. Let's sort of act like we are. Let's just kind of act like we are. Why are we? Because you're blessed. Who are you? Say, I'm a blessed person. That's who I am. If Satan's wallering you right good, you look at him right good and say, I'm a blessed person. Tell him. You're blessed. That's who you are. Who are you? You're a blessed person. Who are you and why? He predestinated us to adoption as sons. Who are you? You're a son and daughter of Jesus Christ. That's who you are. That's who you are. Who are you? You're a son and daughter of Jesus Christ. Well, why? To himself, according to the kind intention of his will. Why are you a son and daughter? Because it's God's will. Listen, do you think God's playing a joke on you? Why would he predestinate you? Why would he have this kind intention? His will is to adopt you as a son and then release you with no inheritance. The reason you're here is because it's his will and it's in the intentions of his will. He's not playing a joke on us. The very fact that we're here is proof of his intentions. Your hereness is a testimony of what he's going to do. Wow. You are forgiven. Say, I'm forgiven. In him we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses. According to the riches of his. Wow. Which he lavished on us. That means he splashed it around real good. Right? He lavished it. I've heard people say, well, Alan, you deal in too much grace. Well, the way my Bible says he just throwed it around everywhere. He's just run it all over. He's lavished me with his grace. All right? People say, well, Alan, you do too much grace. It's because I've been given a bunch. You want some? He lavishes it on us. You are informed. He didn't bring you here with his good intentions and predestinated you to be here as a joke. Not only that, he's informed you. Here's what he informed you of. He made known to us the mystery of his will. God's will has a secret to it. According to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view of an administration suitable to the fullness of times. Whoa. What that means is he's going to dish out his power here. He's going to administrate it in accordance with the times in which we're living in. Are we poor? No. Are we in the lack of power? No. God has promised to dish us out the amount of power that we need for the times we're living in. Just glory. That is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the... Now, how many people see that? He's going to sum it all up right now, today, things that are heaven, things on the earth. I want to have one foot in heaven, I want to have one on earth. Now, when you do that, what's actually happened, the spiritual science behind it is you're becoming a conduit of the things of heaven. So if you happen to get a foot on earth and get a good ground and you get a good positive hook to the power of heaven, you might shake a little bit. And don't laugh at somebody that does. People do it in different ways. But I've seen people stand around and shake. Anybody ever seen that one? And I'll say, well, what's wrong with you? It's just God. I don't know. Don't make fun of it. Just say, praise God. I am witnessing things in heaven and things hitting the earth. And it'll confound the wise, but the simple will see it. That's who you are. You're going to be informed. You are an heir of God. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestinated. So we have an inheritance. I've covered that. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. In Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with who? The Holy Spirit of who? Do you remember that promise? The Holy Spirit was promised, and you are sealed by the Holy Spirit. If you lose the seal, the Holy Spirit's one that has to break the seal. The Holy Spirit's not breaking the seal. Who is given as a pledge of our inheritance. Now, I want to do this right quickly. I'm 3 minutes over. Can you give me two more minutes? Faith plus love plus thanks equals. Say it with me. Faith plus love plus thanks equals wisdom and revelation. Which equals, for this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints. There's something going, there's a recipe going on here. You got to have faith in the Lord. You got to have love for the saints. Do not cease giving thanks, see it, for you, while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, he's going to give you something. Give to you a spirit of what? Wisdom and what else? Revelation. Now that's going to equal something. In the knowledge of Him. How many people want to know the Lord more? Do you mean it? There's your formula. People say, well, Alan, things of the Spirit don't have a formula. Yes, they do. They're a spiritual science. The science is faith plus love plus thanks equals wisdom and revelation, which equals knowing Him. And then when you know Him, well, just open the doors and let the cows out, all I know. When you know Him, the future is going to be written right before your face. The Holy Spirit of God, His presence, who He is, will lead you in every path, every step of your life and your day. You'll run into things. I talked to a lady this morning, said, Alan, ever since I got prayer for feeding the poor and helping the poor, said, it's everywhere. She's got faith, love, and hope, wisdom, revelation. It's equal to her having the heart of Christ. Just hallelujah. Now we're going to stop and get a cup of coffee. And I pray that we'll come in here. We'll just be wide open and worship. Say, well, Alan, let's don't stop. Listen, the Lord's still here. We can stop and take a break. It doesn't change a thing at all. So, Lord Jesus, we love You. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your mercy. And, Lord, thank You for letting us dream of heaven on earth. And, dear God, I pray that we'll wake up from this dream and it'll be happening. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.